Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur more than halfway down from the top of Daf Tes Vov, 27 lines from the top. The Gemara begins, Gufa. Gufa is a quote from that which we saw back on Daf Yud Dalid Omid Beis. We are dealing with the blood applications of the Korban Tomid. And on the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, which we indicate will go till Amud Beis, to a long piece of Gemara. Hesber l'shitas Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh b'matan domim shel hatomid. We're going to be looking into his shita, the shita of Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh, regarding the blood applications of the tomid. Shinoisein matona achas mizrachit zvoynis, that when it comes to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach, so one action of blood application is done. It's a tossing action where the blood splashes and spreads to the two sides, to the east and northern side, in one splashing action. We call that Zrika Sadam. Over Karen Ma'arovas Dromis Behar, when you get to the diagonal southwestern corner, in other words, it's a diagonal from northeast, you go to the southwest, there you do Shnei Matonis, two separate applications, Echod B'Marov, Echod B'Dorom, one on the western wall and of the Mizbeach, and one on the southern wall of the Mizbeach. So now we turn to the Gemara, Gufa, Baal Lo L'Keren Mizrachis Tzvonis, the Kohen arrives at the northeastern corner, Noisein Mizrachis Tzvonis. He then does an application on that corner. In other words, as we said before, one tossing action of the blood, and it spreads to the eastern and northern sides. Marovis Dromis, when he gets to the southwestern corner, Noisein Marovis Dromis, he does the same thing there. So that as far as this opinion that's reflected in this particular source, there are two tossing actions of the blood and resulting in the four sides of the Mizbeach receiving a blood application. But it's only two actions. V'toni Allah, and concerning this, it has been taught, Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh Mishaneh B'Tomid. He has a different approach to the Tomid. With regard to the northeastern corner, it's really the same. Balo Lekeren Mizrachis Svoinis. He comes to the northeastern corner, Noisein Mizrachis Svoinis, in one action. He applies to that corner. Marovas Dremis. With regard to the southwestern corner, Noisein Marova V'Yachakach Noisein Droma. There's a separate application to the western side and a subsequent application to the southern side. The Gemara asks, "My taimo d'Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh? What is the basis for his unique method of applying the blood?" The Gemara answers, and notice the answer takes a few lines to develop. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Chad Debei Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yochanan quoting someone from the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai. Omar Kro. The pasuk says, "Usir izim echod lechatos l'Hashem al oilas hatomid yaseh v'nisko." Olahi, the korban tomid, is a korban oila. The Omer Rachmona Ovid Bo Maisechatos. And the Torah says, with regard to your korban oila, your korban tomid, which is an oila, and an oila, generally speaking, if we weren't talking about the tomid, we would talk about a standard korban oila, it has two actions of application on the two diagonal corners that we mentioned. But in this case, the Korban Ola has an element of Chatos. Now, a Korban Chatos, in general, it has four separate blood applications, or four actions of applying blood to the Mizbech when it comes to a Korban Chatas. Here we have a hybrid. This is the Korban Ola, the Korban Tomid, which is an Ola, but it has an element of Chatas to it. Ha Ketzat, so how is that accomplished? No Sein Achas Shishtayim Kemaisa Ola. He does a singular application which results in two spreading to two sides. That he does at the northeastern corner, like you would a standard Ola. And Shtayim Shein Shtayim Kemaisa Chatas. However, the southwestern corner, he does two separate actions on the southern wall and the western wall. That is what he would have done if it were a Chatas. Now, we have a new geometric form. On the side, we have our Mivneh, and here we have a series marking, a series of triangles. Sidra Shel Kushyos, series of questions, Vahatzos, Chilufios, and alternative suggestions, L'shitas, Reb Shimon, Isha Mitzvah. You'll notice that this list is fairly long. It continues down a good part of Omid Beis. So let's look into alternatives. V'litein shtayim shein arba kemaisa oila. Why not have two applications which results in the four sides of the mizbeach, this spreading idea, and then the arba shein arba kemaisa chatos, and an additional four applications, four separate applications on each one of the sides of the mizbeach, north, east, west, and south. So the Gemara answers, you know why we don't do this? Lo motzinu domim shemechaprin v'choizrin umechaprin. We don't find in Korban applications one kind of application is done, in other words, one complete type Korban is done. Domim mechaprin literally is we don't find blood that atones and then it atones, which is representative. We don't find one Korban being treated as if it were two separate Korbanas. So the Gemara asks, "V'chimot sinu? If what bothers you with this suggestion is that we don't find well, v'chimot sinu domim shechetzion chatas v'chetzion oila? Do you find other? Do you have any precedent for one korban that's half chatas and half oila in the way we treat its blood? Ela al korcha hekeshon akosuv. Rather, you have to concede that this pasuk is special insofar as it compares hekisham, it links the ola to the chatos. Hacha nami, so too with my suggestion of do the two which are like an ola and then another set of four like a chatos. I'll tell you bal korchan hekeshon akosuv. We are forced to recognize the comparison so that. Being that we have this element of mixed or hybrid sacrifice, why not do a complete Ola approach? And then, which means two diagonal corners, northeast, southwest, and then another set of four applications like a Chatas. So the Gemara answers, Hasam, no. He says, our approach, the Shimon Ish HaMitzvah approach, is basically an ola, two diagonal corners. With regard to the southwestern corner, hasam pisuk matonos be'almohi. Pisuk means to split something or break something up. So if we look in the Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, pisuk matonos be'almohu, hoyol ushtein bekeren achas, since the two separate applications are at the same, or very close to that corner, it doesn't look blatantly like a korban chatos. Because with regard to a korban chatos, the applications are made to four separate corners. Here, you have two applications that are basically adjacent to one another at the corner. It's just that the piece of means you split up the application that you're doing to the corner. So we continue in the Gemara with another question. V'nesiv, why not do as follows? If you're saying that we have a hekish between chatas and ola, why not v'nesiv achas shishtayim lamato kemaisa ola? Now, we didn't mention this before, but the chatos blood applications are put on the mizbeach at a different level, different height than the ola applications. Chatos is done above the midway point of the Mizbeach, and the Ola applications are done on the lower part of the Mizbeach. So the question here is, V'nesif achas shishtayim lamato kemaisa Ola, why not do one corner, which is like two sides because of the spreading factor. One splashing, one zrika at the lower half of the mizbech, kamaiso, as you would do a standard oilah, and shtayim, shein shtayim, lemalo, kamaisa chatos, and do the two separate applications, but you do them on the upper half of the mizbech, as you would do a korban chatos. So the Gemara answers, lo motzinu, domim shechetzion lemalo, vechetzion lemato. We don't find any precedent for one sacrifice whose blood is part above and part below. The Gemara asks, "Velo?" And you could see that this questions here will be introduced with a double underline here, and the next line as well, challenges. But here we ask, "Velo? Is that so? You don't find part above and part below?" V'ha tnan, hizo mimenu achas lemalo v'sheva lemato. This is a quote from the Yom Kippur service, where there is here's just a translation: seven applications above. That's one application above and seven applications below. So we see part above and part below. The Gemara says no. It's not that part is done above the midway point and part below. Rather, it's kematzlif. My kematzlif. What does that mean to be like a matzlif? Machvi Rav Yehuda kemenagdino. Menagdino has to do with lashings, which basically means that the first application is done at a higher point, and the subsequent seven applications that the source is referring to, which has to do with the sprinkling of the blood in the Kodesh HaKodoshim opposite the Oroin. So all it means is that the first one is uppermost, and the next seven, you're working your way downwards, in a downward motion, so to speak, in a lower motion with regard to the subsequent matonis. But it's not a function of something being above a halfway mark and the rest being below a halfway mark. Now the analogy that the Gemara gave was kematzlif. Matzlif is the action of lashing, so that when you have someone who is guilty of an offense that requires the court administering of lashings, the lashings are done across the person's body, starting from a higher point, and then lashing, continuous lashing, but keep on moving downwards. The Gemara asks, Veloi, is that really so, that you don't find part above and part below a midway mark? V'hotnan, here we have another source from the Yom Kippur service. It says, V'hiza mimenu altiro shel mizbeach sheva pomim. This has to do with blood applications in the Heichal with regard to the golden mizbeach, and it says that hazah is a sprinkling of blood on the tiaro. Now my love, apalge de mizbeach kidamri inchi tihar yo toher tiharo dehu palge de yoimo. The word in the source of tiaro shel mizbeach, does it not imply, or does it not mean, the midway point? Just like people speak, Amri Inshi means the way people speak. When they want to refer to noon, they say Toher Tiara, which is midday. We call noon time. And in fact, if you have we'll call it etymological imagination, there is a letter conversion or letter switching that takes place between Aramaic and Hebrew. In this case, you have the word tihara can be replaced with a tzadi, which might have the more familiar ring to it, tzoharayim. Tzoharayim is a common word referring to noontime. So when the source features the blood applications on the golden altar in the Heichal, it seems that part or above, there's the TRO. And Rashi adds, very importantly, since we're talking about multiple blood applications at the midpoint of the Mizbeach, it's impossible that some it's impossible to avoid some being above that midpoint and some being below that midpoint. So we do find blood that's applied part above a midway mark and part below. Omar Rava Bar Shilo Lo. Rava Bar Shilo corrects and says, no, that's not the understanding. When it says, Al Tiharo Shel Mizbeach, Agufe de Mizbeach, we're at the top of Omid Beis, means on the Mizbeach itself, on the top, on the roof of the Mizbeach. On the top, not the side midway point like we thought, but rather it means on the top of the Mizbeach. So all those blood applications referred to in the source are referring to applications at the top. And what is, how does Tiharo have to do with the top? Dechtif, Ucheetzim Hashamayim Lo Tohar. So here you have the word Tohar. Now, the point is, it's hard to see this just in the translation of the Gemara, but Rashi explains the roof of the Mizbeach is the top of the Mizbeach where there were incense was offered and there were the charcoal resulted, and it had to be cleaned off daily. So the idea of something being cleaned off is associated with the term purification, and something that's clean and pure, like the word tohar. And the pasuk says ke'etzem hashemayim letohar, means like the pure heavens, if you will. So Tiharo means the roof of the Mizbeach, hence we're not talking about a halfway mark whatsoever. My shna to Yoiv Oilo Beresha Vahodar Yoiv Dechatos. Another question on what we were speaking about before in terms of the applications that of the Korban Tomid. Why is it that we do first the Ola type applications? That's that one splattering of the blood at the corner which spreads to the two sides. Why do we do the Ola method first and then we do the Chatos, which means the two separate applications at the southwestern corner? Nesiv Bereisha the Chatos. Why not do the Chatos method first, V'hodar Nesiv the Ola, and then do the Ola method? So the Gemara answers, Kevan da Oila hi, since in fact, we're talking about the Tumid, which is a Korban Ola. Its very essence is a Korban Ola. So he, Kodma Bereisha, we give it preeminence. And it goes first. Umayishna Dioyev Mizrachis Svoinis Umarovas Dremis. Why do you choose those corners, namely north, east, and southwest? Nasiv Dremis Mizrachis. Why not apply it south, east, Vahadar, Tzvoinis, Maravis, and then northwest? The Gemara answers, Amri, Oila Teuno Yesoid. The blood applications of a Korban Ola require Yesoid. Yesoid means is the base of the Mizbeach. And around the bottom of the Mizbeach, there was a base that measured an amo high and an amo in width running around the Mizbeach. However, it didn't run around the entire perimeter of the Mizbeach. In fact, you will, as the Gemara says, Ola needs Yesod and Keren Droimis Mizrachis, the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, lo hava le yesod. There was no yesod over there. Now we have a diagram that accompanies this on Omid Aleph, on the side of the Gemara. We have an aerial view of the Mizbeach, and you can see that the yesod doesn't go around the entire Mizbeach. We continue in our Gemara. My shna the yoyev bereisha mizrachis svoinis v'hadar maravas dreimis. Why is it that you choose to do first northeast and then southwest? Nesiv bereisha maravas dreimis. Why not choose southwestern corner first? V'hadar mizrachis svoinis and then northeast. So the Gemara answers, Kevon the Omar Mar, since it has been taught, Kolpino Shata Poinelo Elo Derech Yamin. Now the next word, Rashi points out, isn't really necessary over here, but it says Lamizrach. So, Beresha Bahu Poga. Since, in general, when the, when one, let's say, ascends the Mizbech. Now here, let's just point out that when we're dealing with the Korban Oilas Tomid, the Tomid applications are done at the bottom of the Mizbech. When you're on the floor of the Azora, you're standing at, on floor level. However, there are other Korbanos that you go up onto the ramp of the Mizbech and go around the Sovev, which is called a type of ledge that runs around the Mizbeach just above the halfway mark. It's called the Sovev. So there were Korban Chatas, for example, you would rise on the ramp, you would ascend the ramp, and then walk onto the Sovev of the Mizbeach. And there the method and directions are specified that you walk up the ramp, and when you're walking up the ramp, you're walking from the south to the north. You're facing north. You're walking in a northerly direction. Then when you get to the point on of the ramp that's level with the Sovev, you walk onto this ledge, and you are making, in effect, a right turn off of the ramp onto the ledge. So the when you do that, so as we said, you're walking on the ramp you're on the southern side of the Mizbeach, walking up toward the north, but you're going to make a right turn. So which corner of the Mizbeach do you encounter first under those circumstances? The first corner that you encounter is going to be obviously there's the southeastern corner, but there's no Yesod over there. So as you continue your trip around the Mizbeach, continuing to make a right turn at each point, so the next corner of the Mizbeach that you're going to reach that has a Yesod will be the northeastern corner. So since there is precedent for reaching the northeastern corner because of the need to turn right each time, as a result of that, there's precedent for northeastern corner being reached first. So, in our case as well, even though you're not on the ramp of the Mizbeach and you're not on the Sovev, nevertheless, we give precedent or preeminence to the northeastern corner before the southwestern corner. So that the phrase we just read, Kol Pinois Sha'ata Pona, all turns that you make, Lo yel derech yamin, they should be right turns, because that's what really happens when you ascend the ramp, and then the turn is, in fact, after rising on the southern side, you make a right turn. That means you're going to be turning toward the east. That's lemizrach. We continue in the Gemara. Umimai de ba'oila hu de komar achmona ovid ba ma'isa chatos. Who is to say that the pasuk that we read on the on Omid Aleph of Usir Yizim Echod L'chatos L'Hashem Al Ulas Atomid Yeosev Inisko, that pasuk is telling me that we're dealing with the Ola, but treat it with an element of Chatos. V'dilma B'chatos Hu D'koma Rachmona Ovid Bo Maisa Ola. Well, maybe this pasuk, and which should be pointed out, we didn't mention it earlier, this pasuk is found in the section dealing with the Rosh Chodesh sacrifices. And on Rosh Chodesh, there was a chatos, a sin offering, that was brought as well. So maybe this pasuk that says "Usiris in lechatos Lashem," maybe the pasuk is really addressing how you deal with the soyer Rosh Chodesh, and it's telling me treat the Rosh Chodesh soyer Ovid Ba Maisa Ola, treat it with an element of Ola. We said that the pasuk is talking about, namely that pasuk in Bamidbor Chav Ches is talking about the Korban Tomid, which is an Ola, and it has elements of Chatas to it. Maybe the pasuk is talking about the Chatas offering, the Rosh Chodesh of the Rosh Chodesh Chatas offering, and it's telling me treat it with elements of Ola. The Gemara says, Lo, Salka Daitoch, don't think that. Tichtiv, the pasuk says, Al Oilas HaTomid Yael Seven Isko. My Komrachmona, what is the Torah saying in that? Midi dechatos shodi a'ola. What the Torah is instructing me is to say, is saying, take elements of the chatos, and shodi means send them or place them upon the ola, so that the subject is really the ola, and it's treated with elements of chatos. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice some markings, and that draws our attention to the side where we have the nosei mivne heading. And also an indication as far as daf length is concerned. This is a very long discussion taking us to Yud Zayin on the base, so that in the context of the daf yomi shiurim that we are featuring right now on Gemara markings, we won't be covering the entire sugya in one sitting. So on the side, though, we have a diamond. Stira bein maseches tomid umidos. This seems to be a contradiction between information taught in Maseches Tomid versus information taught in Maseches Midos. Be'inyin mikum lishkas atloim. The contradiction seems to be with regard to the position, to the location of this tloim chamber. Tloim are sheep. Sheep that are designated for the daily sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. So when you see the diamonds, you'll realize that we're highlighting two Mishnayos, one from Maseches Tomid and a seemingly contradictory Mishnah from Maseches Midos. We will have to focus on the Lishkas HaTloim in order to appreciate the contradiction. And with the markings, we'll try to highlight that. In addition, you will see on Daf Tes Zayin, Amud Aleph, you'll see the appearance of a bow tie shape. These are Shtayim and Sholosh Gishos Liyashev Astira, two or three approaches to resolve the contradiction. On Tes Zayin Amud Aleph Rav Huna, Tes Zayin on Amud Aleph also you'll see Rav Ada Bar Avo, and on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph Rav Ada Breda Rav Yitzhak. So you'll see attempts to resolve this seeming contradiction. The house marking that will appear toward the end of this first source will be of use when we get to Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph in Mirz Hashem. So now let's turn to the Gemara, bearing in mind that there will be bracketed sections that will de-emphasize for the upon the initial reading, and then deal with the contents of the brackets later. So the first source, Tanan Hosam, it says in Maseches Tomid, Omar Lohem HaMemuneh. The Mimuna is literally the appointed one. He is a type of, we'll call, assistant Kohen Gadol. And he says, Hutsu v'viu tle milishkas beis atloyim. He issues an order, bring forth for the purpose of the Korban Tomid the tle, a sheep, from the lishkas beis atloyim, from the sheep chamber. Vehalo lishkas hatloim hoysam b'miktzayet tzvaynis maravis. The lishkas hatloim was at the northwestern corner of the base hamoked. Now, in order to appreciate the location of these different chambers, we had mentioned at the very beginning of Maseches Yuma, when we started the Masechta, to be familiar with the Mishnayos of Maseches Tamid and Maseches Midos. If you have access to a Gemara volume or some Mishnayos volumes as well, they have diagrams of the Beis Hamikdash, and you can appreciate these points more and more by learning the sugya alongside the diagrams. But even if you don't have that, nevertheless, we can make sense out of what we have here. There was a chamber called the Lishkas Hatloim within a larger chamber known as the Beis Hamoked. That is the main point that we've emphasized with our markings. Lishkas Hatloim was located northwestern corner of Beis Hamoked. If we skip the bracketed section, we encounter another Tanaic source, Viraminu, and again, brackets, skip them initially. Raminu means we raise a steer, and this is from Maseches Midos. It says, Ma'arovis droimis hi hoisa lishkas tloi korban. And notice the markings. The double underline, you can compare, both sources have a reference to the sheep chamber. The lishkas ha-tloim. Tloi korban is tloim, the same thing. In the second source from Maseches Midos, where has it been located? Well, it says Ma'arovis droimis. What did it say in the first source? Tzfoinis Ma'arovis. What we've tried to do with the markings, if you're looking carefully, you'll see that the point of difference is dot underlined. Tzfoinis versus droimis. As far as Ma'arovis is concerned, both sources have the Lishkas Hatloim on the western side of the Beis Hamoked. Just that in source number one, it was located in the northwestern corner. Second source from Maseches Midos, southwestern corner of the Lishkas Beis Hamoked. As we said, that is the problem, and you'll notice that we have if you turn to the Tes Zayin with Aleph, the source continues, but we've put it in brackets once again, simply to de-emphasize that section. We want, as we said, to emphasize the terms that represent the contradiction. All the rest is side information. And by the way, we've included a bracket note by the starred note in your margin. There we've written Tam Hasugrayim Po Uva Mokar Habo Mimaseches Midos. The note is referring to the first set of brackets, but the point of the brackets is Kedei Levoideid Nekudas Astira. Levoideid means to isolate the point of contradiction. Velo Lehisake Beribu Yaprotim Hamuvoyim B'Mekor Zelenatu. Become belagored with the multitude of details that are taught in these sources. So we've done our job. That's certainly our hope. Lishkas Hatloim, first source from Maseches Tomid, has it northwestern corner of Beis Hamoked, and Maseches Midos has same Lishkas Hatloim located in the southwestern corner of the Beis Hamoked chamber. And as we said before, I know it's sounding a little repetitious, but the Beis Hamoked was a large chamber which had in it four smaller chambers in its four respective corners. Now, let's go back over the sources. We go back to the first diamond, Maseches Tamid. Omer lehem ha-memunah tzuvaviu tleh milishkas beis ha-tleim. Bring me the sheep from that sheep chamber. Valo lishkas lehem hoysu mitzoyot tzvoynis marovis. The Lishkas Hatloim was in the northwestern corner of the Beis Hamoked. And the brackets. V'arba l'shochos hoyu sham. There were four chambers in the Beis Hamoked. And here we now enumerate them. Achas Lishkas Hatloim. Two, V'achas Lishkas Hachosomos. Rashi provides a much more background to that, but once again, we don't want to get bogged down with details. It was a chamber in which there were different chosomas or signs or seals that were located in this for the purpose of a person who needed to bring a korban and its accompanying sacrifices would use these things in his acquiring the korbanos. The next office, next chamber, Ve'achas Lishkas Beis HaMoked, that was a chamber in which there was an opening from it to the larger Beis HaMoked. So it was a small Beis HaMoked chamber and a larger one. Ve'achas Lishkas Sho'isin Bo Lechem upon him. And there was a fourth chamber within this large Beis HaMoked chamber, that in which the lechem haponim were produced. Lechem haponim were the breads, or sometimes translated as the shoe breads, that sat in the Beis HaMikdash from week to week. The house marking that you see here, we mentioned this earlier, will be of benefit later on, not for right now though. Veraminu, and we then raise a stira from the Maseches Midos source, Arba L'shal Soyu L'Beis HaMoked, there were four chambers within the Beis HaMoked, Hikitonius Apsuchus Latraklin, like small booths that open into a large hall. Shtayim Bakodesh Shtayim Bachol. Two of these chambers were located in the half that was sanctified with what we call Kedushas Azora. It had Azora sanctity. And Shtayim Bachol. And the other two were on the other side of the halfway mark, located outside the sanctity of the Azora. The Roshe Pispisim Avdilin Bein Kodesh L'chol. There were Pispisim, you might translate as something like pegs or little protrusions that were wedged into the floor that demonstrated or demarked the boundary, the halfway mark, that on one side was Kodesh and the other side was Chol. The Nafgamina, the practical difference in knowing that is that in Kodesh, something that has Kedushas Azora, has the sanctity of Azora, that's an area in which one cannot sit down and certainly not recline. Only Malchei Beis Dovid had a right to sit in the Azora. Malchei Beis Dovid are descendants from Dovid, the kings coming from the Davidic dynasty. That which is not Kodosh, that which doesn't have Kedushas Azora, so there you can sit down and recline as well. Uma hoyu mishamshos, what were the purpose of these four chambers? Marov es dromis, hi hoysa, lishkas, tloi, korban. The southwestern corner chamber was for the sheep that were kept there for a few days. There was always turnover, but they were kept there for a few days to make sure they were blemish-free for the Tomid sacrifice. We continue at the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph, Droimis Mizrachis, Hi Lishka Shohoyu Oysen Bo Lechem Haponim. That's the southeastern corner, was for Lechem Haponim production. We mentioned the house marking that we'll find full benefit of once we get to Daf Yud Zayin. It might be noteworthy that in the first source, the Tomit source, where Lechem Aponim, where the Lishkas Lechem Aponim was mentioned, so it was not specified where it was located. Only in that source, only the Lishkas HaTloim's actual location was mentioned. We continue here on the second line from the top. Mizrach Esfoinis, the northeastern chamber, there the descendants from the Chashmonai Kohen household, when the Greeks had defiled the Beis HaMikdash, so they used the altar for idolatrous sacrifices. So the Beis Chashmonai We mentioned erroneously the descendants, but it really is a reference to the initial Beis Hashmonai, the original Hasmonean household, when they cleaned out the Beis Hamikdash from all of the defilement left there by the Greeks. So they took the stones of the Mizbeach that were used, Sheshak Sumachi of the Chachavim, that were used for idolatrous purposes by the idolatrous kings. So they out of respect to the stones, they buried them there in that particular chamber, which is called the Mizrachis Sfonis chamber. That means the northeastern corner of the Beis Hamoked. So that chamber contained these Mizbeach stones. And Sfonis Maravis, Baal Yordan LeBeis HaTfilah, from the northwestern chamber, there was a descent to a subterranean mikveh, Beis HaTfilah. Now, we're in the context of the Daf Yomi, and hence we've spilled over a little bit onto Daf Tezayin. However, it's clear that we're in the middle of a discussion. And as we pointed out, we have a stira to deal with. So, that having been said, this is a somewhat convenient point for stopping. After this, you'll notice, as we mentioned, we introduced the bow ties before. These are responses to the problem. Before we actually conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.